The woke has been completely put away. Time to end this farce. Anybody pretending this has not happened at this point, probably selling you something. Now, if you didn't know, I wrote an article 2 years ago now saying that the woke would be put away. I predicted a long time ago that the American regime realized it was in trouble, needed to dial all this crap back in order to restore faith in the institutions, increase military recruitment, also because the left had turned against Israel, which accelerated the process, no doubt. But it is absolutely clear that this is happening. Now, all of the claims that this is happening solely down to Trump or simply because, Trump has what, the right has won, etc., don't seem to recognize the fact that it is leftist institutions who are dropping woke as well, as signaled by the fact that MSNBC have just fired Joy Reid.
Add value, and that, I'm sorry, that that what I was doing had value. And value. And in the end, I'm sorry, I try not to cry on TV. And I say this is kind of like me on TV, so I apologize. And then it mattered. I see Karen is there and she's been texting me as well. And so what I will just say is,
you got it. She's gone. So no more bloody tagging me on Twitter and saying the woke hasn't been put away, because here's Joy Reid saying something stupid. She's gone, all right? One of the relics of a bygone era has finally been fired. Anybody now at this point trying to say that I wasn't spot on all accounts, as I told you, has got a financial incentive to tell you that. Also in this country, Ash Sarkar has just released a book basically disavowing the woke and saying that it's gone too far and blah, blah, blah. And you can see Navarra Media and Young Turks repositioning themselves for a post-woke world. Anybody with a pair of eyelids saw this coming a mile off, of course, because as I pointed out in my original article, praying the woke away, regime does not play 4D chess. Regime telegraphs all of its moves. And we'll get into, you can read that in your own time. You can go back in Forbidden Text, subscribe to it to have a look at that. But all of the things I was talking about now are coming to pass. The army shatters records after Trump's election win, the recruitment records. What did I tell you this is all about? It was all about boosting military recruitment, and it was about getting people to buy back into the institutions. Now, as Elon Musk says, join the new DOJ, fight actual crime this time. America's saved, guys. America's saved. You can trust the DOJ again. You can trust the military again. You can trust the police again, and all of those other things that you'd lost faith in, because the patriots are in control. Don't tell me it hasn't worked, because it has. I see my timeline every single day. People telling me that America was about to be at civil war, 2, 3, 4 months ago. Now we're so back. Stop blackpilling, get in the crystal. So it worked, didn't it? And I called every single shot, didn't I? Now, why is that? Why is that? Well, we'll get on to that in a second, because there's more. DEI has been put away right across the board. And Forbes magazine has done a very helpful job for us by listing all of the people who've been putting away their, dumping their DEI programs. Started listing them in July when John Deere said it would no longer support cultural awareness events like Pride. Then it was Harley Davidson. And I remember back then it was like, oh, you're coping, AA, because these are right-wing companies. You're coping. Then there was Jack Daniels. Then it was Ford Motor Company. Then it was Lowe. Oh, still coping, AA. They're still right-wing coded. Then we kept on going. Molson Coors, Boeing, Walmart, McDonald's, Meta, Amazon, FBI, Target, Smithsonian Institute, Google. Oh, you're still coping, AA. It's such a cope, AA, as the evidence mounts up. People don't want to see what's in front of their eyes unless it smacks them on the face. And now it's slapping you in the face over and over and over and over again, the evidence mounts up and you still can't take it. I still get people even now who can't swallow their pride and admit that I got this right and they got this wrong. Now, the important thing is why. Why did I get it right and why did you get it wrong? Well, we'll get onto that in a second. Let's keep on going. Accenture, NPR, Disney, Pepsi, Intel, PayPal, Chipotle, Comcast, all of these companies, Deloitte, PBS, CNBC, they're no longer, I mean, it's just insane. Disney, Goldman Sachs, company after company after company, JP Morgan Chase, Morgan Stanley, Citigroup. You know, when it's McDonald's, Coke, Pepsi, and every single major bank dropping it, it's the regime, guys. Okay? It's not just Trump. It is the entire regime. And if you want to try to tell me that Pepsi, Coke, JP Morgan Chase, Morgan Stanley, and bloody Goldman Sachs are not the regime, well, I got a bridge to sell you, I tell you. Okay? So anyway, let's go back then and get on to the chase here. What was this whole disagreement about in the first place? And why is it that I got it right and so many other people got it wrong? Well, we'll talk about that. But first of all, please buy Foundations of Shakespeare, my course, and the Trivium, where you can learn about logic and reasoning and how to argue and rhetoric and evidence and how to write and all of the other great courses, Foundations of Economics, Politics, where you too will be able to learn those tools of elite theory that I used here. But I have a new ad for Foundations of Shakespeare, so that's the one we're going to be playing. And when I come back, we're going to be talking about what was it in particular that I saw that some of these other people did not see, and what was the core of the disagreement. That is the thing to remember. So when we come back, I'll talk about that.
Who was Shakespeare? What if everything you have been taught about Shakespeare is wrong? What you need is a non-woke university-level Shakespeare course based on solid scholarship, stripping out all recent nonsense since 1980. A comprehensive introduction to studying Shakespeare, featuring 14 lectures and covering 8 major plays. A Midsummer Night's Dream, As You Like It, Twelfth Night, Measure for Measure, Hamlet, Othello, King Lear, and Macbeth. Foundations of Shakespeare. Buy it now from the Academic Agency.
All right, so another thing that I've been trying to stress before we get on to the core of the disagreement is this adoption curve here. You know, I said, it's just going to be me over and over again explaining the early. I mean, Elon Musk was a very early adopter. You know, now we're getting into the early majority. There will be a late majority, and then there will still be laggards. There'll still be people in 2 or 3 years' time, you know, some little local library or something, you know, some smaller, medium-sized firms who are not on the cutting edge, who are laggards, right? It happens in every curve. It happens in every adoption curve, no matter what it is. And as I was trying to explain, as people were saying, oh, what about this woke thing, AA? What about this woke thing, AA? What about this woke thing? What about that woke thing? And I was saying, like, you wait. We're just following this curve, okay? And remember, I was first saying this in 2-3 years ago, back in 2022, I was talking about this. And we've just been moving over that curve. We're now leaving the early adopters and moving into the early majority. Soon we'll be over the hump, and on the, you know, by the time of 2026, 2027, you know, woke will be seen as much of a relic as the past, as the war in Iraq or something like that. Okay, I'm not the only person who's pointed to this, although I have been one of the more prominent ones, it has to be said. Now, Morgoth posted this, and it's about what US aid has revealed, that the left have no sincerely held beliefs at all. It's just grift and patronage networks. And you know, the sheer extent of it. You know, we found that USAID has been going in this country to an LGBT advocacy group called Stonewall, which was totally embedded within the government. You know, and I maintained all along that the number of true believers, the number of woke true believers, was and still is minuscule, and that once there was the sea change, once the patronage network was, you know, the rug was pulled, the money was taken away, all of those people would either pretend that they'd never been woke at all, or shift like Ash Sarkar is doing now, and cynically try to shimmy over to where the power is. Okay, Uncle Ted was very good at talking about the Machiavellian psychology of most leftists. Okay, but a lot of other people who disagree with me, who are, you know, very varied, you know, the whole phrase, the woke mind virus that people talk about, they were convinced that woke was more like a religion, more like a kind of brainwashing, where, you know, it was being powered through by these true believers who worked in a bottom-up manner and took over institutions because middle-aged and old CEOs were being held hostage by young, you know, millennial employees, something like that. Me, I always maintained, as per Pareto, power is top-down. Ideology follows power, not the other way around. Once power decides it's over for something, then, you know, the true believers won't have a leg to stand on. Ideology will fritter away. Ideology is only there as a post-hoc justification for what power has already done. I maintain that as against many, many, many different voices who wanted this to be a religious clash. They wanted it to be a question of faith, right? A question of faith. And what I was saying was, okay, well, look, it's not that faith has no power at all, but I maintain that woke in particular was not a faith, and it had never been tested. It never, like, if you look at the history of the Reformation, for example, people who were hardcore Catholics were prepared to die for being Catholics, to be killed by Protestants, and vice versa, burnt at the stake, right? Whether people who died for the, you know, Fox's Book of Martyrs, people who died for their beliefs, Protestantism, or in the other way around, for their Catholicism, as against the, you know, the upstart Protestants, you know, Thomas More, somebody like this. So there were people on both sides who had a real conviction. And when Mosca talks about, you know, the power of those ideas in his classic, The Ruling Class, he no doubt has a point that, you know, faith of that nature can swing the odds, right? Even if you're outnumbered, all right? You can think of a situation like Vietnam. Right, the Vietnamese love of home was much stronger, was much more something that people were prepared to die for than whatever it was the Americans thought they were dying for. The Americans didn't even know what they were dying for, something about capitalism or something, I don't know. Right, most soldiers there didn't know why they were there, whereas no Vietnamese had any question about why they were there. It wasn't really to do with communism, it was to do with protecting their homeland. Okay, Burnham in the managerial revolution and in the Machiavellians talks about how the love of homeland, okay, is a much more powerful motivator than fighting for, I don't know, liberty and freedom. Yes, fascinating passages about that. So it's not that the elite theorists in general, including Burnham, Mosca, and so on, don't believe in the power of faith. It is simply that in this case, woke in particular was an astroturf top-down ideology, so it was kind of weak, and I could see that it didn't really have a genuine purchase. If you remember, my analyses proceeded from the idea that it was a failed attempt to impose a new political formula, and it was spectacularly unsuccessful. So the regime had to go back to an older political formula, namely colorblind liberalism or something like that, okay? Now, whether they're going to get back there or whether the more hardcore right-wing elements of Trump's orbit will win out remains to be seen. I still suspect when all is said and done, it will be colorblind liberalism. back to Fresh Prince, as I talk about, but we don't know. Point is, the woke has been put away for all the reasons I suggested. Now, what is it that Pareto saw that the other elite theorists kind of didn't see, or what specifically did they disagree on, and why do I believe him? Well, the thing is, Pareto was an economist as well as being a political theorist, an elite theorist, and a budding sociologist. That is what he wrote his book, The Mind and Society, where he outlined all this from. And Pareto's insight was basically the same one as Jonathan Haidt's, that, or the same one as Daniel Kahneman's in Thinking Fast and Slow, that intuition comes first and reasoning follows. Okay, but he was talking much more on a wider governmental, society-wide level, i.e. what is it that the society needs to do? And the ideology will basically follow from what power wants to do, okay? And I could see that power needed to get people invested back into the institution and that this woke thing wasn't working. It does beg the question as to why they allowed or why they pushed woke in the first place. And they did push it because US aid has shown that they pushed it in the first place. And that is a question that I would love to know the answer to. I mean, there's a guy I know called Eric Kaufman, who is more on the woke mind virus side of things. But he, you know, he works on this. He works kind of trying to understand woke ideology, why it came about, and there's contrasting theories. But I would suggest that they were actually trying to transition the America, Britain, and Europe into a mode where the white majority, got used to the idea that there were competing interests, there were competing minority groups, and that they couldn't kind of take for granted their quote-unquote privileged position anymore. Now, I think that the backlash it provoked was probably bigger than they were expecting, or maybe it got out of control for whatever reason. But you could argue that from a certain point of view, it did actually succeed in making everybody much more aware of the racial diversity that we all live with now, but it may have done so in a way that the system doesn't find dangerous, or that alarms the system, which is why I think that we have a heavy push now towards the colorblind liberalism stuff. Otherwise, if we carry on going in the direction that woke was leading in, you're getting into ethnic and civil conflict, which nobody wants to see, of course. So that's where I suspect things will go next. But in general, I would say this episode showed that Pareto was actually more on the money than many people would have liked to admit. Now, why are people so reluctant to give Pareto his due? It's not just me. It's not just kind of people wishing to prove me wrong. Why did they want Pareto to be wrong? And I would suggest that the people who want Pareto to be wrong are religious themselves in some way. And it would be quite difficult, or they wouldn't like to admit the fact that all through history, official ideology has had this quality of being convenient for power, including religion, right? Including how religion has been used. I would simply ask them, or I would simply make them look at the fact that whether it's Christianity, Islam, Judaism, Hindu, any other religion, Hinduism even, or Taoism, it has or Confucianism, they have actually chopped and changed what specifically they stand for in different moments. And it just so happens that what they transform into at any given time, tends to go hand in glove with what it is that the system wants to do, right? I mean, let me not remind you of the fact that the church collaborated with Stalin, or the church collaborated with various fascist regimes, or the church was quite happy to go along to the Crusades, and then at different times it was happy to, salute the woke flag, and at different times you know, at other times it was happy to do, you know, go along, you know, a certain version of the church was happy to go along with Henry VIII. A certain version of the church was happy to go along with Martin Luther. A certain version of the church was happy to go along with the Borgias, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So at the end of the day, you have to acknowledge that there is such a thing as what Arnold Toynbee, who was a committed Christian himself, by the way, calls the temporal institution, as distinct from the church, right? The temporal institution. And the temporal institution, because it belongs to the city of man, if you want to put it in a Christian theological context, because it belongs to man and is therefore flawed like man, is going to come with all the foibles of men, right? So it's going to it is going to chop and change as power dictates, just as human beings are pliable in the hands of power. Okay, not to say that ideology has no power at all, right? To motivate men, to make them die for this cause or that cause, but the bar to have, you know, for an idea to have that much power is quite high. And woke never had that power. I'm convinced it will never have that power. Boomer Truth, which is a much stronger, much more, you know, that is something that has attained the level of myth, and it has a quasi-religious element to it. In Chronicles magazine, which I now write a monthly column for, I actually published, you know, you can see in the February edition of Chronicles, there's me, the Boomer Truth Regime. I published the start, an excerpt from that book, which is, you know, not going to be out for at least another couple of years, because I haven't written it. But I have written the first chapter, most of which you can read here. You know, that, I would say, is something that I think some people would be prepared to die for. Right, that is something that causes people to do completely irrational things. And that is being severely put to the test this very week. You know, as you watch this video, tomorrow Keir Starmer is meeting with Donald Trump. Okay, and he will appeal to World War II. He will appeal to the memory of Winston Churchill. He will appeal to Boomer Truth. Whether that idea, whether that quasi-religion is able to stand up truly in the face of power as vested in Donald Trump and in the hard power of Vladimir Putin now, remains to be seen. I suspect that will die a much harder, put up a much more difficult fight than woke, because I think people have been, even if Boomer Truth started as an astroturf, as a top-down imposition after World War II, that has had a lead-in time of about 80 years at this point. Okay. And I think people, many millions of people, will go to their graves holding dearly onto Boomer Truth. All right. Anyway, woke has been put away. Hope that whole conversation is done and dusted forever. I'll be back tomorrow where I talk about international affairs. Later on, of course, there's Reviewing Adam Curtis with Simon Roberts. And I think we've got another guest as well. Ben, I think, is back. And I will catch you tomorrow. Now get out. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.